As I said, today is the feast of a great woman, Saint Mary Magdalene. I don't have to introduce her to you. I think people know Mary Magdalene. Although, the first thing that people think of when they think of Mary Magdalene is that she's a bad woman, which is sad because the first thing we should think of is that she's a great woman. She's a great saint. She's depicted here in the statues behind me, right behind the Blessed Mother. One of the few of those figures gathered at the foot of the cross that we can identify by name. Of course, we know Mary, the Blessed Mother, we know John, the beloved disciple, and we know Father Francis, this guy here, and then the other one, Mary Magdalene. When Father Francis first drew the picture of the Anouim gathered at the foot of the cross, I don't know if he had intended one of those figures to be Mary Magdalene. I mean, she has to be there because she's identified in the Gospels as being there at the crucifixion, but whether Father Francis meant this one or that one to be Mary Magdalene, I don't know. But when we submitted his drawing to an artist in the States to improve it, because his was simply a black and white sketch, and we wanted a color image so that we could submit it to the woodcarver. So that artist, she's the one who put this woman in red, which is the traditional color of Mary Magdalene. Red, because she's a bad woman. Too bad. But anyway, then we gave it to a famous woodcarver down in Paete, Paloi. Can't remember his name. We just call him Paloi, right? Anyway, and he certainly made her into Mary Magdalene. So there she is. She's a member of the community of the Anouim at the foot of the cross. Which brings to mind another kind of a side issue to leave Mary Magdalene for a moment. Sister Barbara is here. Her urn is here, also among the Anouim at the foot of the cross. Last week when we were having the wake and particularly the funeral, some people told me that in the live stream of the funeral, the Anouim at the foot of the cross were reflected in the glass on the coffin. So you could see Sister Barbara was included among the figures at the foot of the cross. And certainly she's Anouim. We don't have a statue of her, but she's certainly included in this little community of the faithful disciples. So let's reflect a little bit on Mary Magdalene. I think we can identify three aspects of her story. The first one, that the scriptures identify her as a woman who was possessed by seven demons. This is the basis for people's negative idea of her, that she's a bad woman. She's a sinner. Secondly, we can identify her as a seeker. Certainly today's readings present her this way, seeking the Lord. And thirdly, we can identify her as an evangelist, because that's the reason why Pope Francis elevated this celebration to the rank of a feast, to honor her as an evangelist. So, a sinner, a seeker, sent. Sinner, seeker, sent. That'll be our 3 points of reflection. First of all, as a sinner, the seven demons have been interpreted in different ways. If you know anything about exorcism, you know that there are a lot of demons, and people can be possessed by more than one at a time, and they're not always all driven out at the same time, and even they can come back. So whether Mary had seven demons at once or whether she had been exorcised and then was possessed again, that's not specified in the scriptures. Some scholars say that the number seven is symbolic. It simply means that she was thoroughly under the domination of evil. We don't know, but certainly she suffered a terrible affliction, and she was rescued by Jesus. She was set free from evil by Jesus. that probably marks the beginning of her faithful discipleship. How else could it be? If she's possessed, she's not a disciple. And once she's no longer possessed, she's a very committed disciple. People identify her as a sinner. Well, that's not hard to do, because all of us are sinners. So identifying Mary Magdalene as a troubled woman, as a needy woman, as a sinful woman, as a woman in collaboration with evil, is simply to identify her as one of us. It's not to set her apart as being worse than us. That would be terrible, because how can we see her as an example? No, she's the community of the Anawim, aside from the Blessed Virgin Mary, are the community of sinners. The second aspect of Mary Magdalene is she is a seeker. She is driven by this inner desire for deeper union with Jesus. A desire which is best described in the terms of lovers. That's why today's first reading, taken from the Song of Songs, is the description of a lover in seeking her beloved. We don't have many readings in the liturgy from the Song of Songs. There's this one, and then there's the one that we read before Christmas, when we read about the Visitation. I think it's before Christmas, or maybe it's on the Feast of the Visitation, I can't remember. But it's chosen to describe Mary bounding into the hill country to visit Elizabeth. So this love poem captures the energy that moves lovers to seek their beloved. And certainly this is a great description of Mary Magdalene. She has a great desire to be with her beloved. That's what keeps her at the tomb when the apostles leave. It's as if the gospel, according to John, tells us that Mary Magdalene had a greater desire to be with the Lord than Peter and John did. She certainly had a persevering desire. She was a seeker who would not give up. When I was in college, one of our professors set up the contrast between two common proverbs. One of them is, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You've heard that proverb. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And the other one is, out of sight, out of mind. So he presented that to us. Well, which one is it? If you're not with your beloved, now he was talking to college kids, so we're all caught up with our romantic ideas, you know, that age. So if you're not with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, are you more fond of her, or do you forget about her? It's a pretty good question to reflect on. It came back to my mind when I was reading the Office of Readings for today's feast, St. Mary Magdalene. The passage is taken from a homily by St. Gregory the Great. So here's a great seeker himself. And he talks about the persevering love of Mary Magdalene, she who remained at the tomb because she had not yet found what she went for, and the apostles left. So I'm reading here from St. Gregory the Great. We should reflect on Mary's attitude and the great love she felt for Christ. For though the disciples had left the tomb, she remained. She was still seeking the one she had not found. That sounds like the first reading. No, him whom my heart seeks. She was still seeking the one she had not found. And while she sought, she wept, burning with the fire of love. She longed for him who she thought had been taken away. And so it happened that the woman who stayed behind to seek Christ was the only one to see him. For perseverance is essential to any good deed. As the voice of truth tells us, whoever perseveres to the end will be saved. At first she sought but did not find. But when she persevered, it happened that she found what she was looking for. When our desires are not satisfied, they grow stronger. And becoming stronger, they take hold of their object. This is the principle I'm highlighting. That when our desires are not satisfied, they grow stronger. So that points us in the direction of absence makes the heart grow fonder. Holy desires, likewise, grow with anticipation. And if they do not grow, they are not really desires. That's the condition of out of sight, out of mind. If it's out of sight, out of mind, well then it's not really the desire of love. It's not a genuine heartfelt love. That means it's just a passing infatuation. So if you're not with your beloved and you forget about him, well then there's not much love there. If you're not with your beloved and your heart grows fonder or your desire grows stronger, that's evidence of a true love, true seeker. So that's St. Gregory the Great. Holy desires likewise grow with anticipation, and if they do not grow, they are not really desires. Anyone who succeeds in attaining the truth has burned with such a love. So this is Mary Magdalene burning with love. You can see her in the Gospel, see her in the first reading. We see her described also in this Psalm, Psalm 63. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. My soul is thirsting for you. Like the earth, parched, lifeless, and without water. We're supposed to be thirsting like this. We're sinners, but God has also planted in our hearts a desire for him, a restlessness, and that desire should grow. Let's ask Mary Magdalene to help it grow. It doesn't come from us first, it comes from God. He plants it in us, but we are supposed to foster that desire so that when he seems absent, we persevere. And in fact, this is one of the main reasons why he allows us to experience absence, so that our desire will grow, so that our love will grow, so that our faith will grow. A sinner, a seeker, the third one is sent, meaning an apostle. An apostle is by definition one who is sent. One who is sent to proclaim the good news. One who is sent to proclaim the resurrection. Saint Mary Magdalene is honored in the church as the apostle of the apostles, or the apostle to the apostles. Apostolos apostolorum. She is the one sent to proclaim the good news to those sent to proclaim the good news. She's sent to proclaim the resurrection to those who are to proclaim the resurrection. And that's highlighted in today's gospel. After Jesus calls her by name, Mary, and she realizes he's not the gardener after all, she is the one whom her heart seeks. He says, go to my brothers and tell them. So when he says go, that means she's an apostle, because someone who is sent is an apostle. Go and tell them I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Meaning we are all of the same family. We have the same Father, the same God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Proclamation of the resurrection. I have seen the Lord and he's alive. This is the proclamation of every Christian. Not that we have seen him with our eyes, but we have encountered him. We have met him. We know he's alive. He's still alive. He's not dead. He's alive. He's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. He's with us. He is drawing us in the desires of our hearts. He's drawing us to himself. So all of us can learn from Mary Magdalene. All of us are sinners. All of us have our bad reputation. All of us are seekers, burning with desire for the Lord and or for the things of God. We don't even always know what is moving us in those deep inner desires, what our heart seeks, the mind does not always grasp. And then all of us are sent. We are all sent to make known in some way, in many ways, the reality of the living Lord, Jesus Christ. The reality that sin and death have been defeated. That we live, even though we're still living in a valley of tears, and a lot of darkness, but we live in an era of victory, of certainty, of joy. The proclamation of the gospel is a joyful proclamation. I have seen the Lord. So with Mary Magdalene to inspire us and to teach us, to intercede for us, let us go forth as apostles, making known the good news.